John 3, verse 16. Someone has said the heart of the Bible is the New Testament. The heart of the New Testament is John's Gospel. The heart of John's Gospel is chapter 3. And the heart of chapter 3 is verse 16. And it is perhaps the greatest verse in the Bible. And certainly as a preacher, if I had one last sermon to preach, I would go to John 3, 16. And whenever I'm short of a message, or if I'm chatting to someone and I want to help them understand the Christian message, there is no clearer explanation than John 3:16. And our title this evening, or this morning, is called The Gospel. The Gospel. And John 3:16 contains it all. And we're going to look at it. It's a great verse. It is built around 10 key words. God. Loved. World. Gave. Son. Whoever. Believes. Perish. Have. Life. 10 key words. And those 10 key words fit together in pairs. God and Son is a pair. Loved and gave is a pair. World and whoever is a pair. Believe and have is a pair. Perish and life is a pair. And these five pairs tell us five key truths concerning the gospel, what it is, and how can we respond to it. And these five truths have five essential lessons. God and Son, the ultimate giver and the ultimate gift. Loved and gave, the two expressions of God's compassion. World and whoever, the twofold direction of God's love and giving. Believe and have, the two things human beings are invited to do. Perish and life, the two final destinies of mankind. Several years ago, a man called Larry Walters, I may have shared this illustration with you before, but it just tickles me, I love it. 33 years old, decided he wanted to see his locality from a new viewpoint. Fed up with just looking at it from the average way, he came up with a bright idea. He went down to his army surplus store and he bought 45 used weather balloons. He took them home. That afternoon, he strapped himself to a garden chair. Well, his friends filled the balloons up with helium and attached them to his chair. He took a six-pack of beer, a sandwich, and a Bulgarian gun. And he said to the guys, cut me loose. He figured that when he got high enough, he'd just shoot the balloons and he would gently float back to planet Earth. Larry Walters assumed the balloons would take him about 100 feet in the air. He was caught off guard. They swept him 11,000 feet into the sky. They took him smack into the middle of the air traffic pattern of Los Angeles International Airport. Too frightened to shoot any of the balloons, he stayed airborne for more than 2 hours. This forced the entire airport to shut down all its runways for much of the afternoon, causing long delays all over the country. Soon after he safely landed back on planet Earth, he was arrested by the police and cited, and reporters asked him three questions. First question, were you scared? He replied, yes. Second question, would you do it again? He replied, no. Third question, why did you do it? He replied, hey, you can't just sit there. You can't just sit there. Hey, if this verse is true, this is the greatest news God has ever given to human beings, and I'm convinced it is, we can't just sit there. We are called, aren't we, when we leave this building, as opportunities come our way, to seize them, to grasp them, maybe even to manufacture them, but to share this message, this gospel, with those we come into contact with. You can't just sit there. It requires us as believers to take it out. And it requires a non-believer, someone who's yet to come to faith, to make a response. To make a response. Let's look at those five pairs one by one in our time together. Number one, the ultimate giver. and the ultimate gift. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. It requires, of course, an act of faith. It assumes that you will take on board the fact that there is a God. Nowhere, of course, in the Bible does God ever try to prove himself. The very first book of the Bible, in the beginning, God. Take it, fact, or reject it. But God doesn't debate whether he exists or not. He says, look at the world in which you live. There's the evidence. Look at my people. There's the evidence. And best of all, look at my Son. There is the evidence that I exist. I did come across this illustration that I thought was quite interesting. Imagine a family of mice who lived all their life in a large piano. To them, into their piano world, came the music of the instrument, filling all the dark spaces with sound and harmony. At first, the mice were impressed by it. They drew comfort and wonder from the thought, there's somebody there. Somebody who made the mice. Though invisible to them, above, yet close to them. They loved to think of the great player whom they could not see. Then one day, a daring mouse climbed up into a different part of the piano and returned thoughtfully. He had found out how the music was made. Wires were the secret. Tightly stretched wires of granulated lengths which trembled and vibrated. There was no mysterious player. It was the wires. The wires. We must revise all our old beliefs. None but the most conservative could any longer believe in the unseen player. Later still, another explorer went out. He came back with a further explanation. Hammers. Hammers were now the secret. Numbers of hammers dancing and leaping on the wires. This was a more complicated theory, but it all went to show that they lived in a purely mechanical and mathematical world. The unseen player came to be thought of as a myth, but the pianist continued to play. Well, we live in a world that puts down the world to a whole host of wires and hammer keys and you name it, people believe it. The music continues to play. God, and God who made the world, put together a rescue plan to save his world, and it would cost him his one and only Son. The Father sent the Son into the world. We had it, didn't we, a few studies ago. John 1:14. The Word became a human being, and he lived amongst us. What an incredible statement that is. And the ultimate proof there is a God is Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. How else do we explain him? The miracles he did, the wisdom of his teaching, the purity of his life, and the ultimate proof, the Bible says, his resurrection. His resurrection. That is the proof he was the Son of God. That he conquered death itself. The ultimate giver is God, a God who loves us and values us so much. He gave the best he had. And the gift he gave, his one and only Son. Secondly, the two expressions of God's compassion, loved and gave. Although we ought to emphasize so loved that he gave. We all know that talk is cheap, don't we? True love is always proved by actions. That's the greatest test. I often tell the youngsters on a Friday that I could go into my house and say to my wife, Penny, Penny, I love you. And she'd say, oh, thank you, darling. And then I could say, make us a cup of tea, will you? Now you know what's coming, don't you? She'd say, hold on. You love me, you make me a cup of tea. Talk is cheap. Don't just tell me, prove it. I want to see it in action. I don't want to just hear the words. Isn't it good we have a God who doesn't just speak but proves? We have a God who so loved the world that he gave. You cannot love without giving. Love ever gives for giving. gives, outlives, and ever stands with open hands. And while it lives, it gives. For this is love's prerogative, to give and give and give. The ultimate giver, God. The ultimate gift, Jesus. The ultimate motive, he so loved the world, you and I. And he paid the ultimate sacrifice when he hung upon a cross for you and for me. Thirdly, we have the twofold direction of God's loving and God's giving. The world and whoever. The world and whoever. World incorporates 6 billion people plus. It's a huge place. But you're not just one of a number. Because the Bible deals in the whoever. One of my favourite names for God in the Bible is the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Almighty God aligns himself to individuals. And Jesus said the same. We have a God who values individuals. Now did you know, if you've got any gingers amongst us, anyone got red hair? No. If you had red hair, you would have about 90,000 hairs on your head, according to the experts, on average. If you've got dark hair, you have on average about 120,000 hairs upon your head. If you've got blonde hair, you have about 145,000 hairs upon your head. When you get to my age, you're just glad for any. But Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 7, God knows exactly, to the very one, how many hairs you have on your head. Sometimes with the kids, I'll go up to one and I'll pull a hair out, just in a fun way. You know what? He still knows how many's there. Doesn't matter how many I've got in my hand, he knows exactly. He's the God of the world. He cares for nations. He wants us to care for nations, but he's the God of the individual. And he deals with us individually. Fourth pair. The two things human beings are invited to do, believe and have. And believe in the Bible is always active. It's never passive. It's a doing word, not a knowing word. John Harper was born into a Christian family May 29, 1872. He became a Christian 13 years later. By the age of 17, he was already preaching in his local church. He received training at the Baptist Pioneer Mission in London. In 1896, he founded the church known as the Harper Memorial Church. It started 25 Christians. 13 years later, 500 members by the time he left. In 1912, he felt called to be the pastor of the Moody Church in America. So he sailed from Southampton on board a particular boat called the Titanic. He had his 6-year-old daughter with him, a little girl called Nana. Nana. When the ship hit the iceberg and it started to sink, John Harper placed his little girl in a lifeboat. He never got on board with her. Instead, he ran along the decks shouting out three things. Women, children, unsaved, get on board. Women, children, unsaved, get on board. When the ship went down, he ended up in the water. As he swam around, he spoke to one man. This is what he said. Are you saved? The man said, no, I'm not. He replied, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the waters took them apart. 10 minutes later, he was brought back to that man. He said to him, are you saved now? No. He said, I can't honestly say I'm saved. He said again, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Shortly after, John Harper went under the water and drowned. That man went on to give his testimony. It's in print, actually. I've got a copy of it. It's called John Harper's Last Convert. There was a man who had priorities. He believed that he had the truth and he must share it at all costs. He believed it. He gave it away. I wonder if you're saved this morning. Follow John Harper's advice. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall. You can have it as a gift from God. Preacher can't give it you, but God can. then there's that last sobering part, isn't there? Suppose if we were writing it, we'd have a rubber and we'd rub this bit off, or we wouldn't include it. It's not palatable to the human mind, but if it's true, palatable or not palatable, we talk about it. Two destinies, heaven and hell, perish or life. The message of the Bible is all about life to a dead world. For my anniversary last week, brought my wife some flowers because I'm a bit of a creep. And I brought my wife some roses. They started life like that one. They finished life like that one. Do you know why? Because somebody cut them off from their life source and stuck them in a vase. And all the life is contained in the stem. As soon as that life goes, it's finished. Because there's no new life coming in. The Bible says you and I are cut off from our life source, cut off from God. And we may have 10, 20, 50, 70, 90 years, who knows? Physically we die, but spiritually we don't have to, because we can be reconnected to the life giver. And we can be reconnected. Got the wrong teeth in today, haven't I? When we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, he gave everything so that no one need say, I'm perishing. It's a step of faith. Just as we conclude, let's summarize the verse this way. Let's pray together, shall we? Let's just have a moment of quiet prayer. If you're a Christian, maybe someone we need to share that good news with who's on our hearts and minds, a neighbour, a relative, a work colleague, family member, let's pray for them. Maybe if we're not quite sure if we're saved or not, we could take that step of faith. Let's just quietly, in our own words, commit our time to